It's good, again, good to be in God's house, 2017. I can hardly believe 2017. I remember when it was Y2K, remember that? And we were all scared about 17 years ago. I'm excited. We're in a good place. We're in a good place in ministry. This is a great place to be this morning. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, not apologizing, but we're saying, this is a great place to be. I happen to feel like it's the best church in town, and that's just how I feel about it. I'm not apologizing for that. And part of that is we have the friendliest people in town. I believe that. You guys, it's a credit. Some of the families that have visited recently have made mention of how friendly this church is. And that's a long heritage of pastors and people that have come alongside this church that have been loving people. And some of the friendliest people I know are in this room that I've ever had the privilege of meeting. So I'm very thankful. Psalm 139. A God worth knowing. A God worth knowing. This is a psalm of David. A song written in distressful times, no doubt. But a reminder, as we look at Psalm 139 for this sermon series, and we're going to be seeing attributes of God in this tremendous, wonderful psalm. I've never had the privilege of preaching out of this particular passage. I'm especially excited as I've been studying this. This passage is rich. It's rich in truth. You're going to be blessed to see just the kind of God that we serve. In distressful times, in a world in which circumstances undoubtedly change, circumstances in your life change, and inevitably changes happen. There's sicknesses and things that happen in your life. It's good to be reminded of what we definitely know is true about God. And this chapter is a good reminder of some of the truths that we hold, the theological truths that we hold that are true of God. And so I'm just going to begin reading in just a moment. But before I do, Mike and I were on the computer this morning kind of looking for pictures. The series is A God Worth Knowing. And I'm fully aware that there are views of God out there that aren't necessarily very helpful. Even in church circles, I grew up in a church that good people that love the Lord, but unfortunately my view of God coming out of that that style of churches growing up was a God that can't wait to catch me mess up, a God that has a ruler on my ears and my hair to make sure that my hair is not too long, a God that's looking out for women that are wearing the wrong kind of clothes because those people are going to hell, straight to hell. I make light of what is sort of a legalism and a view of God that God's very heavy-handed. And I believe God has wonderful standards that we ought to meet. But God's not looking with anticipation for you to mess up with an expectation to correct you with an iron fist. God's not in a cosmic stare in heaven looking for mess-ups. God is a loving God, as we just that's who He is. And He wants to correct us because a loving Father does, and He wants to bring us closer to His side as a loving Father would do. He wants to live us to live the kind of life that would be fulfilling. That's the kind of God that He is. So even in my own church experience, I have a view of God that's very, I had growing up, a view of God that's very heavy-handed, very rules-oriented, not a lot of relationship-oriented, a lot of meet these criteria and God will love you. And it wasn't said that way, it's just the way I received it. That makes sense what I'm saying this morning? Wasn't said that way, but I received it that way. So I have that view of God. People view God as just a cosmic a tyrant, again, in a cosmic sphere. I'm thankful that God's not just mad, you know? I mean, a God that's got a just mad all the time is not a kind of God I want to know. I mean, if God's just mad all the time, then you know, get into a cave somewhere and start hiding. Okay, so that's not the kind of God that we serve. And then there are worse pictures of God. So Mike and I were on the computer. Mike, if you have a couple pictures, there's a picture of a God I don't want to know. It's just literally a Google search for gods. That's another one I'd really partake. Anybody want to get to know that God? I'd be scared to death if that was the kind of God that we're talking about in Scripture. There's one that has some weird earlobes there. And there's another picture of a God. And so if different cultures have different views of God. And I'm thankful for that God has brought me. I'm so thankful for this, that God brought me into, despite my church background, brought me into a relationship in a church where my family grew up in a church, that we live in a culture in which this word is preached and has been for hundreds of years in this country, and that we have a culture where the Bible is revered even today. And I'm thankful for a culture, a church culture, in which the God, the picture of a God that we have is different than the pictures we just saw. Not a scary God. Not a God that I'm intimidated by. Mind you, I have a healthy fear of a God that created the universe, but God's not intimidating. God's a good, he's a loving God. And so I want to hone in just on a few verses this morning, Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me, and you've known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you're ultimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it all. I'm going to read the whole passage. Is that all right this morning? Just as a ministry to us this morning as we launch off our year, it'd be good to hear all the words of this wonderful psalm. You have enclosed me. I love this. Oh, behold, oh Lord, verse 4, you know it all. I've met people that are know-it-alls. God actually knows it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed me my inner parts, and you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and your book were all written, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. If there be any hurtful way in me, lead me in the everlasting way. May God bless the reading here of His Word. Psalms 139 is a catalog, in a way, is a catalog of attributes of God, different attributes of God. And we're stuck immediately. I remember in theology 101 or whatever theology class it was in college, we were reminded of the theology of God being omniscient. In other words, God knows it all. And so I just want to talk about that character trait of God and how that affects me in my walk with God this morning. A God worth knowing, a God that knows me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me, verse 1, and you know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar, and you scrutinize my path. This is a God worth knowing, a God that not just knows everything, but He knows me. He doesn't just know everything. You scrutinize my path. Notice the words, the language used here about you this morning and God's intent to know you well and to have a relationship with you. He searched me out. In fact, in the original language, there's an out word there. He searched me out from in and out. He searched me. He's known me. And when I sit down and when I rise up, you understand my thoughts. This is a God that knows everything in your head. Here's a God that scrutinizes my path, my lying down, and ultimately He's acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word in my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it. Even before you know what you're going to say, God knows it. Behold, O Lord, you know it all. You know it all. I remember growing up, my brother, who I love, is one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. He, at 14 years old, and obviously this wouldn't surprise you because he and I share the same gene pool. But at 14 years old, he aced the ACT, and he was the only one in the state of Alabama to do that. He missed one question on the ACT. He skipped three grades when he was a kid. Really brilliant young man, and I really looked up to my brother. And again, you can see some of those character traits in me. I realize that, Lisa. My superior intellect. My brother is really quite brilliant and really intelligent. I remember when I was a kid just kind of looking up to him and thinking, this kid knows it all. He's the kid that literally my parents bought the Encyclopedia Britannica in order for him to have things to study and to look at. And he would sit and read the Encyclopedia Britannica, 10, 11, 12 years old. Nerd, total nerd. Brilliant. Brilliant kid. And I always thought knowledge was such an important thing, and I valued that in my brother. Knowing things and being smart, and everybody here values that in knowledge. Knowing things, knowing about things and being intelligent pales in comparison to the value of knowing a God that knows us as well as He knows us. Smarts are great, nothing wrong with it. Relationship with God, much preferred. And so we're dealing with a God here that knows everything. And I'm always curious about when we walk with God and we start new years, and I've got my series of New Year's resolutions. I'm always curious how much our New Year's resolutions revolve around, I'm going to get to know Jesus better. I'm going to get to know God better. I'm going to have a relationship with God. I'm fond of talking about faith often because we get confused sometimes about what faith is. Faith is not any more than, I wish we could just kind of cross it out of our vocabulary and insert trust into that word. If God is the kind of God that he says he is in this passage, a God that knows you so intimately well that he knows what you're going to say before you say it, a God that knows you so intimately well that this particular God knows everything about you. He's searched you. He's scrutinized you. A God like that. If you knew somebody that knew everything about you, knew what was going to happen in the future, knew about your past, saw you being formed and had a role in that before you were born, if you knew somebody like that, you would want to become their best friend. Would you not? I mean, this person knows everything. I'm going to become good friends. I want to be closely acquainted with that person because they know everything about me. That's what we're talking about when we talk about God. We're talking about a being, a relationship that we can have, a God that knows everything about you. And so if that's true, faith is not just believing certain things about God. It's not just believing that Jesus died on the cross. Putting your faith in Jesus means trusting him. And listen, and so in 2017, if we could get to know God better and say, God, I want to get to know you better. I want to walk with you better. You will have a better year than you did last year because that God happens to know everything about your going in and your coming out. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, he knows everything from afar to close. He knows everything about you. So if we could put our faith, our trust into a God who actually knows us very well, would we not be better off? I want to have a good year this year. I want to avoid the mistakes I made last year. I want to build on the things we did well last year. And in order to have the kind of wisdom and insight required to do that well, I need to have a better relationship with the God that knows me the best. Is this connecting with anybody here? I feel like we want to make sure, because this seems like simple, like anybody could preach this message today. If God, this is basically it. If God knows me as well as this passage says, then he's a God I want to get to know. A God, indeed, worth knowing. You know, it's a relationship that's worth building on because a kind of God that knows that much about me, I need to be connected to. A God like that will help me when I'm in trouble. A God like that can warn me if something's coming up. A God like that can cheer me up because he knows about my future in a way that I don't. A God like that can pick me up when I'm down. A God like that has the capacity to be a great benefit to me. I need to get to know God better. I need to walk with God better in 2017. 2016 behind us, which we were talking about last week. 2016 is behind us. Successes and failures alike, brand new day, new mercies every day. You have brand new start today, clean. Today I'm going to know God better. And then tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up, I'm going to die to myself again. I'm going to say, God, brand new day. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. I'm not going to be fueled by my successes. I'm going to be fueled by the Spirit of God. I'm not going to be fueled by what I did well. I'm going to be fueled by what God is doing in my life. I'm not going to be hindered by what I did poorly yesterday. Today's a new day. I'm moving forward. I got to get to know God better. I've got to know God better. The thing is, oh man, I don't really want to go know God. I mean, this is so tedious. No, God is worth knowing. There's tremendous value in knowing God. I might add here that, so that we're very clear, We're talking about the God that's embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. I need to have a relationship with Jesus that's vibrant. You know, this is not very difficult. I've said it, and I'll say it again. When we talk to children, we share the gospel, and when we talk to adults, what we're talking about is not belief. It's not belief in something. It's putting your trust and your faith. I keep saying that. It's putting your trust in Jesus. It's being able to rest, to sit and put your weight on Jesus and say, I trust you. I don't have to put my weight on anything else. I trust you that you're a God that knows me well enough that you've got me in your hand. I'm not going anywhere. I can just relax. God's got this thing. God's got my life. I don't have to stress out. I don't have to try to work out my salvation. God's got it. That's all that salvation is. It's not any more complicated than that. And although what I just said seems easy, it is the trick. It's the hard part, saying, God, I don't have to trust myself anymore and the way that I do things, all my energy to get out of problems, all my energy to try to please God. God's already pleased God with the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. All I have to do is just sit, relax, enjoy the ride. Is anybody awake? You awake? Everybody awake back there? Is this exciting? Listen, I'm talking about putting a trust in God that is vibrant and saying, God, you've got it. I just trust you. I just trust Jesus. I don't trust Jesus for my eternal life. That's great. I trust Jesus for eternal life, but I trust Jesus for something bigger than that. I trust Jesus for my life. I trust Jesus in my life. I'm trusting Him, not to take me to heaven when I die, because I believe that if I trust Jesus for today, and God's interested enough in me today to take care of my problems today, then the day that I die, He'll take care of that problem. I'm not trusting Jesus for forever. I'm trusting Jesus for this moment that's very difficult in my life. I'm trusting Jesus for the next breath that I take. I'm trusting Jesus with my life. I'm getting to know God better. And the more I get to know God, the more trust, the easier it is for me to sit back and say, oh man, I just learned something. I read something today that gives me a little bit bigger view of God, that gives me a little bit more confidence in God. And I'm able to sit back, man, because I'm studying God's Word. I'm learning more about God. I'm walking with God closer. He's becoming more vibrant to me. I'm learning. I'm seeing more, a bigger picture about God. Oh, the more that happens, I just sit back. I trust God even more. I'm trusting. I'm just sitting and resting on all that God is and all that He's done for me. Because after all, here's the thing. The way that God demonstrates His love for us is that He died for us. So obviously, the cross is important because it is the demonstration of love that He did, and it's the power of the death of the cross that means that trusting Jesus means anything. His death on the cross is crucially important, but I'm not trusting the death. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm putting my faith in Jesus. I'm letting And I'm saying, by the way, the more we understand about the death on the cross, the easier it is to trust Jesus. Man, a God that would die on the cross for me, for my sin, that's a God I'll be willing to trust. A God worth knowing. A God worth knowing is a God that knows me well enough that He has the capacity to help me when I'm in need. A God worth knowing is a God that knows me well enough that in time of need, in time of struggle, God's there. I want to jump if I can, to verse 13. He knows me this well that he formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. He says, Creator God, we're talking about creative capacity to make you, the creative capacity to make you unique. In all of creative history, you're the only thing that looks like you. God's entirely creative. You think millions of people, all different. God, in his creative capacity, has the ability to make you unique and different, and took the time to form you in your mother's womb. That's amazing. This is definitely God worth knowing. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when we get this idea of the doctrine of creation, no, we don't affirm here that the creative work of God took billions of years. We want not to affirm that. What we want to affirm is that God creatively created you and me, and he did it the way he said he did it. And he did it with purpose. And I don't trust a process. I don't trust a God who allowed the process to just kind of go without his sovereign hand at work. I don't trust that. I trust a God that was intimately involved with my forming, and he's there and he's involved, and it's not Darwin that caused it. It's a God that loves me. It's not evolution that did it. It's a God that loved me and formed me. That's a God that you can trust. And the more, and by the way, this doctrine of the creation, if we can get this right, then he'll change everything. If you believe that God created you, then that's going to inform the way that you talk to people, because a God that created you, and that means that you're made in God's image, fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to respect you and love you in a way that God would be honored by it. If God created things and created you, that means that I'm going to care for you in a way that God wants me to care for you. I'm going to pray for you in a way that God wants me to pray for you. I'm going to love you in a way that God wants me to. If teenagers could get this, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, then the way that you view yourself will be different. How many? I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not this enough. God fearfully and wonderfully made you. And that means that you have value in the eyes of God. That makes you entirely special. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. So as we start looking, if we believe that, then that means that we're going to honor the people that are Down syndrome people. We're going to love them. God fearfully and wonderfully created those people. We're going to love our brothers. We're going to love people of all different races. You know, if we could get this down, God fearfully and wonderfully created me. He fearfully and wonderfully created you. If we could get that, then our teenagers would be a lot better served, because that means I'm not going to get into a relationship with somebody outside of wedlock and abuse that person who God created especially for somebody else, and I'm going to have the wrong kinds of relationships with those people. I'm going to be pure if I get this idea of the doctrine of creation. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to respect you because you're created by God, and I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to take advantage of my girlfriend, my boyfriend, because I want something that they have to offer. They're God's children, and they're fearfully and wonderfully made for a purpose, and I'm not going to abuse that. If we can get our heads around, really around, that God formed you, made you especially wonderfully just for you, for God's glory. I'm going to respect you more. I'm going to love you better. I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to take advantage of you. We're going to... Does that seem kind of basic, doesn't it? God worth knowing. The more we get to know God, the better relationship I'm going to have with you. The more I get to see God as a creator who formed me especially, and I get that picture, the better relationship I'm going to have with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So a God worth knowing, getting to know God better, is going to impact the way that I live, because I'm going to put my faith in God in an entirely better way. And not only does it do that, it's going to impact the way that I treat my brothers and sisters. We have brothers and sister conflict in church. We don't have a very good view of God. We have illicit sexual activity with our teenagers. Not a very good view of God. A God worth knowing is a God who knows us and formed us in our mother's wombs in a way that's creative, special. A God worth knowing is a God who loves you enough, and that you know loves you enough, that he has the creative capacity to deal with the issues that you have in your life. A God that worth knowing is a God that knows better how you need to make decisions than if you made it without his help. That's a God worth knowing. And I want to, as a church, commit us to a year of teaching that's going to bolster our knowledge of God this year. I want us, at the end of this year, at the end of 2017, December, to be able to say, you know, I have a richer, fuller view of God, and I'm walking with God in a more dynamic way as a result. And this series is the kickoff to that theme for our year. Will you walk with me this year in getting to know God better? I promise you, there's a lot of things that you could be working on in your life. There are a lot of things. Modern psychology is built around the premise that you are messed up. And we are. And that the best way to make you a better person is to fix our problems. That basically is the premise of modern psychology. Well, the problem is God's not in that equation anywhere. Biblical theology says the best way to get to become better is to get to know God better. Because out of a capacity to get to know God better, that will change the way that we live. And I want to walk that with you this year. I legitimately want to say, at the end of the year, I have a better picture of God. I'm walking with God more closely as a result. And it's my prayer that this church will walk that journey with me.